Welcome to the Sober Rebel Bite Size series for January. This episode is no more than 20 minutes, and there will be one a day throughout the month of January. I've been doing this podcast now for nearly 2 years, and in that time I've spoken to so many amazing guests. So I thought it would be a lovely idea this month to revisit some of the highlights of those conversations every day throughout January to keep you focused on why you're doing this. Today's episode is with Meg. This was an amazing conversation. Meg talks about intuition and how sobriety has reconnected her to that intuition, how she feels like she can trust herself more, and how now she's okay with the peace. Because I think as drinkers, we can get quite used to chaos. One of the conversations we do have is about the fact we seek permission slips from doctors or personal trainers or people around us, friends. We seek that permission to carry on drinking the way that we are. We look for reassurance that we're okay. But actually, you want to be listening to that inner voice, that inner intuition that's probably, if it was anything like mine, screaming at you to stop.
So I'm a mother of two, and just to tell you who I am, I'm Meg Geiswhite. I'm a mother of two, and I'm the author of Intoxicating Lies, One Woman's Journey to Freedom from Gray Area Drinking. I'm also in pharmaceutical sales in rare disease. And I say all of that because I really never hit a rock bottom with my drinking. In fact, I was told by my own therapist at that time, who is no longer my therapist, that she thought I was overthinking about it and that I didn't have a problem.
I cannot believe that.
It took me a really long time to work up the courage to actually tell her that I thought I had a drinking problem, how I was struggling internally, silently, really not telling very many people about it because I thought something was wrong with me. I held a lot of shame and guilt around it, thinking, why can't I get this under control like everyone else? Why does my drinking look like everyone else's? And what's wrong with me? And so when I finally got the courage to say to her, I'm kind of going through this detox to retox loop daily, that is just really this tug of war in my brain. And all this back and forth that I was having, this kind of internal conversation with myself. And when she said, no, I really don't think you do. I think you're thinking about it too much. Her ill advice really kept that gray area of drinking going for 2 more years. So in November, I will be 5 years alcohol free. And it was one of the most beautiful journeys in that it also was kind of this incredible awakening for me spiritually, and just kind of this inner knowing that I had ignored, right, for so long, who was guiding me to the truth. And in my book, I talk a lot about this inner knowing. And I think as mothers, we have this motherly, you know, and men and women both have it. We all have intuition, but how much do we tune into it? And when do we slow down to listen to it? And we just aren't taught in our society to do so. We're taught to, you know, hustle and grind and achieve and keep going and use alcohol as a reward, as a escape. And in my book, the very first lie is I deserve a drink. And with all of the communities that I talk to, that is the lie that most people believe, is that they deserved it, they've earned it. And for me, it was my self-care. At 5 o'clock, you know, when I got home from work and after taking care of my physicians and accounts all day and finally got the kids dinner and got everybody kind of settled and got through that witching hour, that glass of wine was, and what I thought, taking care of me, which was such an intoxicating lie.
Yeah. I love the name of the book.
Thank you. Brilliant. I have to give husband credit. He came up with the name.
It's just brilliant though, isn't it? Because they are intoxicating lies. And there's something that you said there that I'd like to pick up on. And that is that you said to your therapist, now, obviously I'm a therapist, I would obviously react completely differently. However, I've shared this with you on Instagram that I had the same experience. It wasn't so much a therapist, but a coach and a mentor. So this is before I qualified, before I decided that this would be my career. And I mentioned to this person, I want to quit drinking. And initially there was sort of an encouragement. But the minute I hit day five, I know exactly when it was. It was 2012. So that's how long ago. And
Wow.
the minute I hit day five and it was a little bit difficult, as it can be, it was, oh, well, do you know what? You're not that bad. A bottle of wine a night is nothing.
Now, and we get these permission slips, right, from our physicians, from our coaches, from our therapists, from even our health instructors at workouts. And this is what makes gray area drinking so confusing because we are told, you're fine, you're fine, it's not that bad. Just sweat out the toxins, or one bottle a night's not that big a deal. Or my doctor said 2 glasses a night is not that bad. So, why we listen to these outside opinions and voices is because they are, like you said, mentors or guides or people that we look up to. And when we get those permission slips, we run with them. I mean, I know I did. I was like, oh, phew, thank God, right? I'm okay. And the thing is, we have to not listen to those voices. If someone's saying that to you, it doesn't really matter where you are on the alcohol use disorder spectrum. If you and something inside of you, that small, quiet voice, that inner knowing is saying, this doesn't feel right, there's something wrong here, an alarm is kind of going off, and if you're questioning it, you probably have some kind of issue with it. Where you are on that spectrum, I'm not here to diagnose anyone, but what I will tell you, in being in pharmaceutical sales, I have talked to my own primary care doctor about this. And she said that there are three reasons that doctors in particular are handing out these permission slips. Number one, many of them are gray area drinkers. Physicians, again, not all of them, but a lot of them are stuck in this gray area drinking. They aren't trained on gray area drinking. That's the second thing. So the awareness is not there like it needs to be in their training. And the third thing is, when you go to see your GP, you have a set and limited amount of time. And to really kind of explore where you are on that alcohol use disorder spectrum takes time, right? Because there's many different shades of gray, and it's a wide, vast category. And unless you're really at the end stage where you need a medical detox because you're physically dependent upon it, they aren't really trained on how to have that discussion, and they don't have the time and the appointment to do so. And it's for those three reasons that I think we're, as a society, handing out these permission slips. And it's a dangerous one because if we stay stuck in this gray area drinking, we're on the same one-way drinking highway going towards that end stage drinking. And if we don't take an exit ramp to explore it, and lift up the hood under the car and say, what's going on here? For me personally in my life, what is this providing for me? What is this giving to me? We are all headed the same direction. And that's dangerous ultimately, because we know it's cumulative. We know that our tolerance increases and then we need more and more. And I know every time I took a break, my drinking came back with vengeance. Like I would drink even more than I had. And it's almost like when you deprive yourself of the chocolate, then you crave it even more and you end up eating the whole sundae versus maybe a little bit of it, or the whole candy bar instead of a bite of it. It's like you come back with like, oh my God, I need this. I haven't had this. And so I think by rewiring our brains and getting into whatever avenue of support looks good to you, I mean, and now there's so many places and so many ways to get alcohol free or at least be sober curious. And I think it's a wonderful thing because each one may be different for each person, and you have to find the one place where you see your drinking is similar to the other people in the group.
It is. It's sort of that feeling of not being alone.
Yes. I mean, they say, right? The old adage is that the antidote to addiction is connection. And so I feel like there were many times where what William Porter says, in his book, Alcohol Explained, where the drinking amnesia sets in. Your brain is this tricky thing where it's like, oh, you really weren't that bad. Remember, everybody told you you didn't have a problem. You can have one. This happened to me. I actually have a story about this in my book. I had not drank for 15 months. And with COVID and the presidential debate and some work issues, and then a major issue that happened with my daughter. I hit that F it moment that we all have when life just kind of comes, barreling down. And that drinking amnesia kicked in. And I had a few sips and it burned going down. My stomach literally popped up and was like, ew, are we doing this again? Like this does not feel good. My physical body was rejecting it as the poison that it is, right? And after that much time, it was like, oh no. But my brain was like in a different place, right? It was looking for that crutch, that intoxicating lie was still back in the back of my brain that if the you know what hit the fan, it would be there as a crutch. And so I realized in that moment that I still had an intoxicating belief in my brain. I thought I had kind of worked through a lot of it, but there was still one lurking back there. And I say this because I think a lot of us go back and forth in our drinking and try to take breaks and then come back. And sometimes it takes a few times to really have it click. And I know in that moment, my daughter came down the stairs and she saw me drinking and she had tears in her eyes and she said, "Mommy, is this my fault?" And it was like my why got slapped across my face, and I poured the wine down the sink. And it really woke me up to that last intoxicating lie in my head that this was not going to cure COVID. I was going to wake up tomorrow hungover, still dealing with the presidential debate, work issues. And here I am telling my daughter, we were having a discussion about some, vaping. It was about vaping and how that's a highly addictive, product. And I'm telling her not to do it. And here I am modeling to her a highly addictive product, drinking it. And I was like, what am I doing? And I think as parents, we have to like step back, not with shame. I didn't shame myself. I just thought, this doesn't even make any sense. Here I am telling her not to do a highly addictive product, and here I am doing one. What do I want to model to my own children that when life gets really hard, mommy pads herself, mommy goes and has a drink, mommy needs her sanity juice, so that when she gets older, that's what she'll do? No, I didn't want that for her. And I knew society was going to show her that at every turn. Hey, wow, you really deserve a drink. You've earned it. And so that was the last time I had drank. I don't count that as going back to day one. It was part of the journey. And for me, and everybody's different, but for me, I think that those data points, those setbacks sometimes we have in our sober, curious journey, actually, if we get curious about them and say, what did I learn in this? What did I realize that I still believed about alcohol? Then it propels you forward in your journey. If you just use it as an excuse, then no, right? Then that's not the right thing because you're just going to keep going back. But if you really truly get curious about it with loving awareness and compassion for yourself and say, why did I do this? Like, what did I think this was going to give me? And I realized it wasn't going to solve any of my problems. I was going to wake up to the hot mess I was still in the next day, but now compounded by a hangover. And the only way I could do that was with all of the work I had done, right? To all the learnings, all the books I read, my community. And so I went back to my community and I told them what happened. And they lifted me up and supported me and reminded me about why I made that right choice. And that's where connection is so important, right? Is that instead of being alone in that moment, I went to them and said, oh my God, I almost went back. Like, this is what happened. I hit this F it moment. And so it was so wonderful to be in community with other women that are like, it happens, right? It happened to me too. And this is what happened. And, it's not worth going back. And all the reminders of that drinking amnesia that sets in, we need that constant community that for me, a year and a half later, I still needed it.
And well done for not sort of going any further than that. I mean, that's amazing in that moment that you noticed it straight away. You picked up on it. You almost saw the hypocrisy of what you were saying to your daughter and then what you were modeling as a a mum. And I hadn't got to the point of having discussions like that with Mike because my daughter was a bit younger, but I could imagine having conversations about things like smoking, vaping, drugs, alcohol, and not wanting her to rely on alcohol the way that I was. And like you talk about that inner voice, that inner knowing, it just kept coming back and coming back. But the other thing was, it took a lot of unpicking of that mentor's voice in my head. Even we lost contact actually over that time. And I think that was one of the things that truly freed me, was almost the ending of that friendship, which was about something else. But we drifted apart as friends can. And actually, I thought, no, I've got no one now who thinks they know me better than I know myself. I can now listen to my own intuition. And that's really important.
That is really at the core of what my book is about, is that I believe that we all have this inner knowing, this intuition that is guiding us to the truth, guiding us to what's in alignment for our lives, guiding us to what makes our soul come alive. And we aren't taught in anywhere, really, in school or college or anywhere, how to tune into this inner knowing. And I believe that when we do this, when we get still and quiet, and for me, it began through meditation. And I know a lot of people are going to roll their eyes and think, I don't have time for this. I can't do meditation when I sit down. I get the monkey brain. My brain is all over the place with all these thoughts. And what I will say to you is that if you've been on this sober, curious journey or alcohol-free journey, you know how to sit with those uncomfortable feelings when you're at a party and everybody's drinking and you're the one person that's not, and you feel uncomfortable and you feel awkward sometimes, especially at the beginning of the journey. I mean, I know now I don't really care, but at the beginning, I felt like I was naked in a room. And so when you're in that room full of people and you're able to sit with those uncomfortable feelings, that's exactly what you're doing in meditation, is you're allowing all of the things to kind of come to the surface and go, oh, okay. Let me get curious with loving compassion about why this is coming up for me. And what do I truly need? And, you know, I had to go to my husband and say, you know, with COVID, like I am trying to homeschool the kids. I'm trying to clean in the kitchen and cook and do all the things. I need help. I need support. What we truly need is community, rest, and support, not alcohol. But society is telling us the opposite, right? And so we sometimes have to slow down and really listen to what our bodies need in that moment. It might be a good cry with a friend, or it could be that it's a trauma, a past trauma that's popped up, and we do need to get with a therapist. And I do talk a lot about that in my book too, because I'm a big proponent of therapy through this journey in the second half. When you get rid of alcohol, all the stuff that you were numbing out is going to come to the surface. And it's important that we handle it with loving compassion for ourselves, because this is the second phase of that shame and guilt and regret that we can move into, I believe, in the alcohol-free journey, where we start to beat ourselves up with that ego negative voice and we can get stuck in these negative loops. And so I think that by learning how to sit with those uncomfortable feelings and showing up for ourselves, we always have access to it in breath and in meditation and with support with a therapist, friend, family member, whatever it may be for you. That we learn how to start trusting ourselves. And when we can start trusting ourselves, then we don't need to be looking to the outside, like we were talking about at the beginning of this podcast, for the permission slips. It's you give yourself the permission slip, you show up for yourself, and you have access to it at any moment, whether friends are there or not. But it takes time, it takes a lot of time and a lot of work, inner work, to get to this place. And we are a society of instant gratification as well. And
Oh yeah, I was so guilty of that. Instant gratification. It was my middle name. If you'd like to listen to the whole conversation, then head back to the 25th of July 24 with Meg. If you'd like to find out more about working with me, then head to my website, louisaevans.com. I don't just support with sobriety, I also help with many other areas, including anxiety, overthinking, and low mood. On the website, you'll find lots of resources, including my online Sober Resilience course. And if you use the code RESILIENCE544 as a Sober Rebel listener, you'll get a 30% discount. And also a range of hypnosis recordings. Use code SOBERREBEL, all one word, to buy one, get one free. Self-hypnosis is a very powerful and effective way to begin to reprogram how we automatically think about things. You'll find a range of different topics on my website. I'd like to take this opportunity to thank all of my guests on the Sober Rebel podcast for sharing their story and for taking the time to talk to me. The Sober Rebel podcast will be back very soon. I'm just currently recording some fantastic episodes to share with you. I hope you have a good day.